Great to have your company here on Money News, going right around Australia as we cover election 2019 and taking you through the major policies that are going to influence potentially your vote in this campaign. One key issue is going to be infrastructure. One issue about Australia is if we were going back into the global financial crisis with the last time that Labor was in power, one reason why it ended up having to splash so much cash in the face of the global economic downturn was because arguably, there were not enough infrastructure projects in the pipeline, in place, ready to go. The question is whether Australia has learnt anything, and indeed, whether the parties have got different attitudes towards this. The man we talk to and we go to infrastructure is Adrian Dwyer, who is the Chief Executive of Infrastructure Partnerships Australia. Adrian, as always, many thanks for your time. As you sit here and assess the two key political parties, do you sense much difference in their infrastructure policies?
Yeah, I do, Ross, and good to be with you. I think that there's a few key areas of difference on the project side. So we've seen the ALP's got a fairly heavy focus on rail, so things like Sydney Metro in Sydney, Cross River Rail up in Queensland, the Suburban Rail Loop in Victoria. Coalition's probably got a bit more of a strategy around roads and congestion busting, smaller projects is the way they've framed it. But I think the striking thing for me from last week's budget was that this is really being set up as an election about two things: tax and infrastructure.
Okay, so when it comes to infrastructure, remembering what happened in the global financial crisis, knowing that economic growth in Australia is slowing right now, the Reserve Bank already has interest rates close to zero. It could be left to the government to try and create some sort of economic demand. And largely a lot of people are looking to the infrastructure projects of Australia, the future projects. Has Australia got a pipeline ready to go if we were needing to press that button?
Yeah, we're certainly in a better spot than we were at the start of the global financial crisis, and in part because we've actually lucked into a counter-cyclical investment in infrastructure. Right now on the East Coast, because of what the states have done, particularly New South Wales and Victoria, recycling old assets, investing in new ones, there's actually a lot of activity happening. But what's striking for me about the next parliament is there are some issues that either side of the parties of government, the win, are going to have to deal with. They're things like settling energy policy so we stop the investment strike, dealing with the looming fairness issues in the way roads are paid for, and in fact resetting the way the Australian government invests in infrastructure in its entirety. They're the key things that any side winning government has to deal with over the next 3 years.
One of the things you spoke about is Crossrail, cross-city rail. So we're talking about infrastructure busting in terms of roads. But there's also things such as, say, for example, the new airport in Sydney, which is a massive project going out into the future. What are some of the big projects right now that are largely going to take, if you like, Australia's infrastructure forward over the next 10 years?
The big thing that's happening is the growth in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth. I mean, we have to entirely change the way the infrastructure networks work in those cities. It's things like mass transit. So that's turn up and go metro systems. The star of one being delivered in Sydney with the metro system, the Melbourne Metro that's being delivered in Melbourne, and Cross River Rail up in Brisbane do all of those things. But they're the starts of very big networks, multi-generational investments. And across them, many tens of billions of dollars. So the key question comes back to how do you pay for that? And that's about how you deploy Australian government taxes, state government taxes, and which projects you put that money into. What do you prioritise?
And also, does that end up with new projects on the balance sheet, or can they keep a lot of that debt potentially off the balance sheet and therefore away from the mounting government debts?
With these public transport projects, they're not paid for by the users, they're paid for by taxpayers. That means they're on the balance sheet, they hit the bottom line, and that's why there's a constraint on being able to do them.
So then you go off to the state governments. Clearly you need cooperation between the state and federal governments to be able to get these projects not only approved, but to get them financed.
Yeah, you do, and that's why I think that one of the important issues for the next parliament is about resetting the way the Australian government invests in infrastructure. We need to actually press the reset button on that, go back to basics, work out what it is we want the Commonwealth, what are the objectives we want for their investment, and then what's the right way to invest in each project. And actually get real about this. You need real money for these projects. We can't do it with voodoo financing. We need grants, I mean taxpayer money put towards these big congestion busting and people moving project.
Okay, and just finally, if people go and sit down, read the infrastructure policies of the major parties, will they note significant differences, you know, vote changing differences between the two parties?
Yeah, they will on projects, and I listed some of those earlier, and they will on some of the broader policy issues, things like electric vehicles and how we pay for roads, things like energy policy are big points of difference between the parties, and they're important points of difference for people to consider when they go to the ballot box.
I'll tell you what, great to have you on the program. Adrian Dwyer, the Chief Executive of Infrastructure Partnerships Australia, another key election issue. And Adrian, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ross.